بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. وقال تعالى: إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد، قل ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: أدبني ربي فأحسن تأديبي. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدين كله أدب، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, there is no stage in the life of a human being, and in particular in the life of a believer, that he could become complacent with his progress and his achievement. In essence, the effort to better ourselves, to improve ourselves, is unending. It's a lifelong effort. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says that continue worshipping your Allah until death overtakes you. And really speaking, friends and elders, when a person has this desire to better himself, to improve himself, then wallahi, he will learn from all circumstances, whether positive, whether negative. Everything in this world will leave you impressed. You know, like they say in English so beautifully, that a positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty. Let me repeat that. A positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, amongst the many advices that he had disseminated and he had conveyed to his son, Allah Ta'ala selected a few and had given it a place in the Quran Kareem. The ulama have written that Luqman alayhi salam had conferred something like 10,000 advices to his son. Allah Ta'ala selected a few and had given it a place in the Quran Kareem. Ya bunayya, oh my son, أقيم الصلاة، establish الصلاة، وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر. Invite towards good, forbid from evil. Whatever difficulty comes your way, persevere, endure. ولا تسعر خدك للناس. Don't be unpleasant and hostile towards people. ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا. And do not walk on this earth with pride, arrogance and haughtiness. One person came to Luqman the wise, and they asked him, Luqman, you are so famous, you are so intelligent, where did you learn mannerism and conduct from? And this is what I want to speak about today. Where did you learn conduct, mannerism and wisdom from? What did he say? I learnt it from those who lacked it. Where did you learn it from? I learnt it from those who lacked it. People said, elaborate, what are you talking about? He says, when I had seen someone doing something wrong, I said, you know what, that looks wicked, that looks despicable, so that is what I should avoid. If it looks evil to me when he does it, I guess it will look evil to others when I do it. So he says like this, I continued in life, looking at the faults of others, but not to taint their reputation, not to run others down, but to take lessons from the lives of others. On the reverse, you and I, what do we say? This man is sitting in authority, he's abusing his authority. Only to know the day Allah puts me in that condition, Allah puts me in that position, I am worse than the one who sat before me. So what happens? We are not learning from the whole thing. So what did Nabi alayhi salam say? The hadith I quoted before you, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. That my Allah raised me, my Allah nurtured me, my Allah tutored me, and Allah left nothing short in tutoring and nurturing me. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib. Friends and elders, it is a sad reality that you and I have not studied the language of Quran. Because of that, you have been barred from volumes of Islamic knowledge. So you cannot comprehend what Sayyidina Ali condensed in his poetry and conveyed to this ummah. There is an entire book that has been written on the poetry of Ali bin Abi Talib. I share with you something relevant to our topic. Sayyidina Ali used to say, لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْأَقْلِ وَالْأَدَبِ. It is not beautiful clothing, no exclusive homes that adorn us or beautify us. But he says it is morals and values that add flavor to human life. It is not exclusive garments nor beautiful homes that adorn us or beautify us. But he says it is morals and values that add flavor to human life. And then he goes on to mention, وَلَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّتِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. He alone is not an orphan whose biological parent has died before he has reached the age of puberty. But Sayyidina Ali says, he too is an orphan who sees the presence of both his parents, but is devoid of mannerism and conduct. That young man who grows up and is devoid of mannerism and conduct, in the words of Sayyidina Ali, you are orphan in the eyes of Allah. I swear by the Almighty Allah, 95% of the youth of this ummah have become orphans according to this definition of Sayyidina Ali. So what did Nabi Ali Salam say? Ad-deenu kulluhu adab. Another name for Islam is adab, respect and manners. Like the ulama have written, that if a person does not have adab in his life, wallahi, you can own the wealth of this world, you have achieved absolutely nothing. Now the ulama have written very beautifully, and this is what I want to speak about. They say there are different levels of respect that we owe to the Almighty Allah. One is respect to the being of Allah. Number two, respect to the symbols of Allah. Number three, respect to the noble personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four, respect towards seniority. And number five, respect to respect difference of opinion. Let us look at the first aspect, and that is respect to the being of Allah. The ayatul kareema I have recited before you, Allah Ta'ala explains so beautifully. Allah Ta'ala says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Allah says, what is the matter? You show absolutely no respect to the Almighty Allah. Allah says, you show absolutely no regard to the Almighty Allah. Here again, we need to understand. Brothers, you have children, I have children. If your son goes out and somebody comes to your son, and somebody asked him, that tell me who is your dad? Who is your father? So your son turns around and says, my father is the one who abuses me, the one who beats me up, the one who is always harsh with me, the one who deprives me of privileges and comforts in this world. It may be correct, but it's a half-sided view. My brother, let me ask you, if your son or my son introduces me in that way, what would happen in my heart regarding your son and my son? Have you and I not become a victim of the same disrespect to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal? Have you and I not become a victim to the same respect? Here again, we need to understand, when we look at the relationship between us and Allah, or between man and man, our point of reference, our reference for navigation and guidance will always be the prophets and nothing else. So when you are searching for guidance, you are searching for, you know, for some guidance in this world, our point of reference will always be the prophets and nothing else. So what does Allah Ta'ala teach us in the Quran regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam? How does Ibrahim alayhi salam introduce Allah? Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin." My Allah is the one who has created me, hence he guides me. "Walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqin." Allah is the one who nourishes me, hence he sustains me. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Wa idha marittu fahuwa yashfin." And if perchance if I become sick, Allah is kind enough to cure me. Now the ulama have elaborated on this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. As we all very well know, adversity comes from Allah. Good condition and bad comes from Allah. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّ مِنَ اللَّهِ Both good and bad come from Allah. Had Ibrahim alayhi salam said that my Allah makes me sick and my Allah cures me, he committed no crime. Had Ibrahim alayhi salam said, إِذَا أَمْرَضَنِي فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ That Allah makes me sick and Allah cures me, he committed no crime. But look at the inborn respect in the heart of a Nabi to his Allah. He did not attribute sickness to Allah. Why? Sickness gives off a flavor of unpleasantness. So what did he opt to say? He said, Oh my Allah, when I become sick, you are kind enough to cure me. Look at the inborn respect in the heart of a Nabi for his Allah. What happens to you and I? You know, a person is going through some difficulty. What do we say? Make dua, Allah is testing. Make dua, Allah is testing. What can I do? But my brother, when it comes to prosperity, Allah has granted us so much. What did my Nabi say? Man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadi, aminan fi silbi, indahu kutu yawmi, faka'annama huyizat lahu dunya bihazafiriha. Ask a man today how things are. Things are bad. What did my Nabi say? You get up in the morning, your back is straight. You have a plate of food in front of you. You have shelter above you. You have a spouse next to you. Consider yourself to be the king of the world. Consider yourself to be the king of the world. My brother, do you judge Allah by what he has given you? Or do you still continue to judge Allah by that one thing he has not given you? So Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he say? When I become sick, he said that sickness is from my side. Cure is from the side of Allah. Subhanallah. What does Allah Ta'ala teach us in the Quran regarding Ayyub alayhi salam? Ayyub alayhi salam had enjoyed every form of prosperity, whether it was wealth, affluence, children, Allah had given it to him. As far as the eye could see, he owned orchards and farms and vineyards. Allah blessed him with 14 children. According to the riwayat of Qurtubi, every form of luxury you can think about, Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with that. Then comes the test of Allah upon Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah is in total control. Allah can turn the condition of any man at any time. Then comes the test of Allah upon Ayyub alayhi salam. His farms start with burning out. He loses all his farms, all his orchards. According to the riwayat of Qurtubi, the roof of his house caved in, causing all the occupants of his house, that included his 14 children, to die instantly. Ask a man who has lost one child. You can never sleep for the rest of your life. One instance he loses 14 children. That's not all. He then develops ulcers on his entire body. His entire body was filled with ulcers. His near and dear ones left him, they abandoned him. The person who was a pillar of support to him was his spouse and his wife, and her name was Rahma. And she was literally a mercy unto her husband. One day the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam, Rahma, she comes to him and she says, Oh Ayyub, why don't you ask Allah, make dua to Allah to remove these difficulties from your life? A Nabi of Allah is conscious of Allah in the midst of prosperity and in the heart of sickness. What was the level of respect in the life of Ayyub alayhi salam? Ayyub alayhi salam, he gets up and he looks at his wife. He said, Kam labistu fi rafa. Oh my wife, how many years of prosperity did we enjoy? So she says, 80 years, 8 decades of prosperity. Kam labistu fi bala. How many years of difficulty? She says, 7 years. Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife and he said, Amma astahyi an atluba min Allahi raf'a bala'i wa ma qadaytu fihi muddata rafa'i. I enjoyed the divine privileges of my Lord for 80 years and my Allah has only tested me for 7 years. Patiently I will bear, I will endure the day Allah decides my cure, well and good.
That was the level of respect. You and I constantly complain. Well, last did you praise Allah? Did you thank Allah for the privileges that He has given you in this world? Ayyub alayhi salam stands up. There were two people, just to digress for a minute or two. Two of them began speaking to one another. They were friends of Ayyub alayhi salam. And they said, you know what? Ayyub has done something wrong in his life. That is why Allah is punishing him in this way. Brothers, it's not for you to judge, not for me to judge. Someone is going through some difficulty. Like they say in English so beautifully, I love the one who openly hates me, but I hate the one who pretends to love me. I love the man who openly hates me, but I hate the man who pretends to love me. In front of the man you smile, behind the man's back you stab him. What good can you expect? And that's the society that we are living in today. Allah Ta'ala sends down Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah sends down the garments from heaven, from the heavens. وَأَلْبَسَهُ حُلَّةً مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ Allah tells him, Ayyub, stand up, strike your feet on the ground. The water gushes out. He takes ghusl in this water. Allah restores his youth. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا We are given him the certification of patience. We endorse the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam. Some difficulty comes in our lives, brothers. We constantly complain. Let us learn to praise Allah for the good that He has given us. So that is the first level of respect that we owe to the being of Allah. The second level of respect that we owe is to the symbols of Allah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's grandson Salim rahmatullahi alayhi. One day he's making tawaf around the Baytullah. The king of that time, Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. He comes to Salim and he said, Salim, I'm pleased to meet you. If there's anything that you want from me, there's nothing that you ask, I would not be able to put it on your table. So Salim rahmatullahi alayhi, he gives the king an unpleasant gaze. The king says, my apologies. When they complete the circumambulation of the Baytullah and they exit from the Haram, the king comes running to Salim and he says, listen, my offer still stands. If there's anything that you want from me, there's nothing that you will ask from me, I would not be able to put it on the table. So Salim rahmatullahi alayhi says, when you speak about needs, are you referring to material needs or spiritual needs? So the king tells him, well, spiritual needs, I would have to learn more from you than I could convey to you. But material needs, there is nothing that you will ask from me, I would not be able to give it to you. Salim rahmatullahi alayhi looks at the king and he said, just to put on record, material needs, I have not even asked Allah, where am I going to ask you? I have not even asked Allah, where am I going to ask you? Respect to the symbols of Allah. Allah speaks about the Quran. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. None can touch the Quran but the pure. The famous incident, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, where he wanted to kill his sister and his brother-in-law. What did his sister tell him? She said, oh Umar, before you touch Quran, go and take a bath. You cannot touch the kalam of Allah. How sad a sight today. You walk into a Muslim home. One side Allah on this wall. One side Muhammad on that wall. One side Ayatul Kursi. And the most pornographic material is being displayed on the devil box. Is that not the height of disrespect to the symbols of Allah? How many youngsters today driving that car? One side you got that musabbiha, that tasbih on which Allah's name is taken. On the back window, you got the kalima being displayed. And one side music is blasting. That musabbiha on which Allah's name is taken is blasting because of the youngster blasting the music. Is that not the height of disrespect? Zulaykha, the minister's wife, we have heard this incident on numerous occasions. When she intended soliciting Yusuf, she picks up a cloth and she dropped it on her idol. Yusuf looked at her and he said, listen, I don't want to come close to you, but what are you doing? She said, I feel shy. I feel ashamed to commit a wrong in front of my idol, a lifeless, inanimate object. Her conscience bothered her. What has happened to the youngsters of this ummah? Total disrespect. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala ikramu hamilil Quran wa ikramu dhi shayba. Honoring the name of Allah demands that you respect the one who has white hair on his head, and you respect the one who has the Quran Kareem in his heart. It is so distasteful, my brothers, when we see youngsters snubbing elderly people. So that is the second level of respect that we owe to the symbols of Allah. The third level of respect the ulama have written: respect to the noble personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One person comes to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, "Oh Uthman, I need to ask you something. Tell me, are you older or is Nabi alayhi salam older?" Listen to the question. Are you older or is Nabi alayhi salam older? Listen to the sensitivity with which Sayyidina Uthman answers. He said, "I am older than him, but let me remind you, he's elder than me. I am older than him, but let me remind you, he's elder than me." Nabi alayhi salam, in his fatal illness, according to the ulama, there were 17 salah plus minus that Abu Bakr had led in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Monday morning, Allah's Nabi had left this world at the time of Fajr with the aid of two Sahaba. The curtain is open from the room of Nabi alayhi salam. Abu Bakr is leading the congregation, and in his salah, he realizes that Nabi alayhi salam is about to enter the masjid. He starts moving back in his salah. Nabi alayhi salam indicated to Abu Bakr that continue with the salah, continue with the salah. After that Fajr salah, Abu Bakr makes his presence before Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, what's the matter? Why did you move back in your salah?" What did he say? "Ma kana li ibn Abi Quhafa." It just does not behove the personality. It just does not behove that Abu Bakr stands on that musalla and my Nabi standing behind him. He said, "It's just not on." That was the level of respect that they had shown to the Nabi of Allah. The rewrite appears in Bukhari and in Muslim. There were two Sahaba. One was a Sahabi by the name of Fudail bin Ubaid al-Aslami, and another Sahabi by the name of Ibn al-Waraq. Nabi alayhi salam is standing behind a tree, and he sees these two Sahaba, they practicing archery. So Nabi alayhi salam, he comes before them, and he said, "Irmu fa inna bani Isma'il kana ramiya." That go for it, continue practicing archery. Verily your forefather Ismail was a brilliant archer. Nabi alayhi salam, just to add some flavor, some light-hearted moment to the scene, Nabi alayhi salam tells Ibn al-Wara, "Listen, you stand by me." And Nabi alayhi salam tells Fudaila, "You stand on that side. Ibn al-Wara and I on one side. Fudaila, you on that side. Let us have a competition." Fudaila is holding the arrow in his hand. He drops it down. He said, "Oh my Nabi, how can I compete against you? How can I compete against you? How sad a sight today. Brothers, people look down upon the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salam. My brothers, if you're not practicing upon the sunnah, don't frown upon it. Make dua, Allah will inspire you. How sad is it today? It is just sunnah. Na'udhu billah." In other words, it can be left out. فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَكُولُ لَكُمْ. You can write this in gold. I promise you, like the ulama have written, Mullah Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madini used to mention, he said, if a person trivializes any sunnah, there is a fear that this person will leave this world without iman. Allah Ta'ala grant us that understanding. Brothers, my time is almost up. And we'll speak on one last aspect. And that is respect in the heart in the midst of differences. Respect in the midst of differences. We look at our marriages today. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Al-mar'atu idha sallat khamsaha wa saamat shahraha wa talab ba'laha. When a woman will perform a 5 daily prayer, she will fast and she will obey her husband. We are not saying disobey. As men, we need to respect our wives. As long as there is respect in our marriages, we will be able to objectively communicate. But I'm afraid when we show no respect to one another, it becomes very difficult to resolve our disputes. And this is what I want to speak about. Respect in the midst of differences. Difference of opinion is inevitable. I always say the definition, you know, people are talking about, you know, unity today. I always say we unite on haq. We need to unite on haq. But you'll find people will differ with you when it comes to certain aspects. Let us learn to agree to disagree. Until this quality will not become a trait in this ummah, I'm afraid we are living in a fool's paradise. You know, Shaykh al-Hind, nawwar Allahu marqadahu. He's one amongst those scholars and ulama who had qualified from Darul Ulum Dioband. He was a giant when he came to knowledge, as well as being a political figure. Because of his indulgence in politics, he was imprisoned for 3 years. After being released from captivity, he gathers a congregation of scholars and ulama. And I want to share with you what he had mentioned. The first lecture that he had given, he said, for 3 years, I reflected over the pitiful condition of this ummah. And he said, I came to two conclusions. He said, number one, the ummah has abandoned the Quran Kareem. We have neglected the Quran. And number two, he said, our internal bickering and differences has created, he said, this ummah, which is 1 billion in number. He said this at that time. He said this ummah, which could be 1 billion strong, unfortunately, has fragmented into a million fragments. Don't we see it today? And this is what the Quran speaks about. Every man is obsessed with himself. My opinion is right. Your opinion is wrong. It's my way or no way. Let us learn to respect one another. I always say the definition of the unification of this ummah is not consensus on one view. The definition of the unification of this ummah is not consensus on one view. Simply because if any person has that intention of unifying this ummah by bringing them onto consensus, I'm afraid, my brother, but its very definition, it's a flawed definition. Difference of opinion happened from the time of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr and Umar, such love they had for one another, but they differed on so many issues. I mean, the very death of Nabi Ali Salam brought about difference of opinion. Abu Bakr said he passed away. Umar said he did not pass away. Then the issue came, where should he be buried? Somebody said in Baqi, somebody said yeah. Abu Bakr said, I heard the Nabi of Allah saying, a Nabi will be buried on that land where he dies. Difference of opinion. When the issue came about the nomination of a leader, the Muhajirin said, Minna Amirun wa Minkum Amir. Let us appoint a leader from us, a leader from you. Difference of opinion. Abu Bakr and Umar were the greatest of leaders, but they differed on so many issues. Let me give you a few examples. Abu Bakr was of the opinion that that land that has been captured as spoils of war, that will be distributed amongst those who had taken part in the battle. Umar, on the other hand, was of the opinion that that land that has been captured by the Muslims, this is waqf, and no person has a right on that land. That belongs to Allah. Abu Bakr distributed according to his vision. Umar distributed according to his vision. What does the Quran say? Walau sha'a rabbuk. If Allah wanted, He could have united the hearts of the entire mankind. But difference of opinion is meant to happen. My brothers, you can sit in a meeting. You can be heated as far as your arguments are concerned. But walk out from that meeting with the cleanliness of your heart, with a smile on your face. We are progressing as a ummah. Allah Ta'ala save me, Allah save one and all. Like the ulama have written, Malik bin Dinar, what he used to say, Shahadatul Qurra maqboola fi kulli shay, illa shahadatu ba'dihim ala ba'din. I will accept the evidence of one alim, one scholar openly, as long as one scholar does not give evidence against another learned scholar. He said, if one alim gives evidence against another learned alim, He said, I'm afraid it is contaminated with jealousy. Don't we see it today, my brother? I mean, difference of opinion. The battle of Jamal was a very contentious issue in the annals of Islamic history. It indulged great, great Sahaba. And this was triggered by the assassination of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she got onto the back of a camel just to bring about some stability, you know, in the battlefield. That is why it's called the Battle of Jamal. After the Battle of Jamal, one person comes to Sayyidina Ali. Listen to this. He said, Ali, tell me, those who fought against you in the Battle of Jamal, do you consider them to be infidels? He said, no. Do you consider them to be hypocrites? He said, no. Do you consider them to be your enemy? He said, no. What do you consider them to be? He said, those were our brothers who differed with us. Those were our brothers who differed with us. After the Battle of Jamal, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the home of Talha. He knocks on the door. Somebody opens the door. He said, tell me, how is Talha's father doing? The person tells him, you fight with his father on the battlefield. Now you inquire about his well-being. He said, no, that was a difference of opinion. And he quoted the verse of Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Prior to entering into Jannah, Allah will remove malice and hatred from the hearts. There will be two streams. He said, not a single day passes. I make dua for this, for Talha's father, that his father and I enter Jannah together. I mean, they differed on so many issues, but their hearts were united. Amongst the jurists, there is a sinister motive, my brothers, in certain quarters, to drive people away from the madahib. Understand, the a'imma of jurisprudence, we respect every one of them. Their vision was different, the goal was one, to lead people to Allah. Unfortunately today, we find there is a sinister motive to drive people away from the madahib. That's a topic on its own. But we find that people will use the madahib to create dissension in this ummah. I recall some years ago, I was in America. I delivered a discourse. One brother came to me and he said, Sheikh, there is a brother who has proposed to my daughter. So I said, what's the matter? He said, no, I follow the Shafi'i madhab. And that boy follows the Hanbali madhab. It is okay for me to give my daughter to that man. These mazahib are not there to create a division in this ummah. Imam Shafi'i, when Imam Abu Hanifa passed away, that is when Imam Shafi'i was born. This great giant, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, whom the world till today is indebted to the jurisprudence of Imam Shafi'i. He goes to pay his respects. He performed the Fajr Salah in that locality. That particular Fajr, he omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. People came to him that it is your practice, O Imam Shafi'i, to recite Dua Kunut in the Fajr. You omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. He said, I am standing on the land of one of the greatest scholars of Islam, Nu'man bin Thabit, Imam Abu Hanifa. In respect to the dweller of this grave, I've omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. That was the respect they had for one another. There's so much more I could have told you. My time is up. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe this beautiful quality of respect in our lives. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَغْ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.